The Takeaway is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org. You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Unfortunately, we have Todd Zwillick right here. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, John.
Nice to talk to you here at the end of the summer. I've been away for a while. I guess you got back on Monday, right?
Yeah, I got back on the show on Monday. Good to be back as well. I was overseas a little bit, but we're all back in Washington.
It's good to have a job, eh, Todd?
Yeah, jobs, it really is.
Jobs versus jobs versus jobs. I guess the first contest is going to be out in California tonight. The GOP will lay out their vision of the economic future of the United States. And Mitt Romney, I gather, did a little of this yesterday. Listen.
If I'm lucky enough to be president, in the first 4 years, this will grow the economy at approximately 4% per year for each of those 4 years. It will add 11.5 million new jobs for Americans.
Now, Romney likes to speak from authority as a businessman and former governor of Massachusetts. He's talking about a 59-point jobs plan unveiled yesterday in Las Vegas. What happened?
Yeah, in North Las Vegas at a truck and trucking repair company. No accident that Mitt Romney chose to unveil this plan in Nevada, John.
And it's not about the casino, right? It's about the impact that the recession has had on the community of Las Vegas.
Some of the highest unemployment in the country, the highest home foreclosure rate, the home state of the Senate majority leader, who's very unpopular amongst Republicans. So none of this was an accident. And Mitt Romney is very comfortable talking about the economy, always has been. He has a fluency with it, and it really showed yesterday during this speech, made a point when he started to say, I don't have prepared remarks. You know, he made a teleprompter joke. One of the memes in Republican humor is that the president relies on that teleprompter and it's just kind of a smooth speech machine. Well, Mitt Romney was smooth, but he was smooth with just an index card and had a fluency in the economy that is probably going to help him in this campaign, because this is going to be an economy and jobs election, and that's what he was talking about. Well, you heard Mitt Romney say that his jobs program would add 11.5 million jobs. Now, he is assuming, you might have missed one of the numbers that he mentioned there, he's assuming 4% economic growth if America goes with his Believe in America jobs plan.
And what would produce that 4% growth? Because I'm looking at the transcript. If I'm lucky enough to be president, he says, in the first 4 years, this, meaning his plan, I gather, will grow the economy at approximately 4% per year for each of those 4 years. Now, that's a pretty staggering rate compared with what we've had.
And a lot of this, if you follow Republicans, even from a moderate distance, is going to sound kind of familiar. Cut the corporate tax rate down to 25% from 35%. He talks about trade agreements, cutting capital gains tax rates on all investors, basically cutting any kind of non-income taxes on capital gains, on mortgages, other holdings, opening up the Outer Continental Shelf, ANWR, and other areas to domestic oil drilling, getting tough on China, slapping sanctions on China for currency manipulation right away, and deep cuts to discretionary spending, 5% on day one, send a bill to Congress on day one to slash discretionary spending, 5%, which is deep, John. That's a lot deeper than anything we've been talking about in all of these fights about, you know, government spending and continuing resolutions on Capitol Hill over the last year.
Todd, now it's interesting. Mitt Romney is not using the tax reduction argument here as a way of dealing with the deficit so much. He's actually linked it to competitiveness in the sense that the U.S. is at a competitive disadvantage because of its tax rate. Listen.
The average of developed nations' tax rate for corporations is 25%. Ours is 35%. We've got to bring our tax rate down to that same 25% level. I will do that on day one.
Is that Mitt Romney, the economist, by stepping away from the sort of deficit rhetoric, which is not something that he enjoys, throwing fireballs about anyway?
Republicans have never talked too much in campaigns about deficits, John. The congressional Republicans have and have made a huge issue out of it in order to cut spending. But we're back on the campaign trail now. And look, the truth about tax cuts of any kind is they don't lower the deficit. They increase it. in the short term. You want to make the argument that it spurs economic growth and helps the deficit and jobs in the long term. You go ahead and do that, and it may. But in the short term, if you cut the corporate tax rate from 35 to 25, to the extent that corporations actually pay that full 35, which
is
another discussion.
Exactly.
That's a deficit increaser. So it's hard to have the debt discussion and the tax rate discussion in the same breath. You have to sort of make a meta argument about economic growth.
And so all Republicans like to step away from it. Romney's just the first to do it. Here's a familiar voice. Listen.
I will not let up until those Americans who are looking for jobs can find them.
Now that, of course, President Obama, who will give his own sort of State of the Union moment speech in front of the House and the Senate on Thursday, the GOP debate is tonight in California. I'm wondering if these candidates aren't stepping into a trap by focusing on jobs, in the sense that does anyone actually believe that Washington gives them a job unless they're actually working for the government?
I think in many ways that liability that you're discussing is Barack Obama's liability. He's the president, and he's going to be the only one who gets credit or blame for what the jobs numbers have done over the last 2.5 years and what they do between now and November. Republicans have it easy a little bit on jobs because the employment situation, whatever happens, is not going to be great between now and early November. So Republicans, whoever the nominee is, has an advantage over the president in that way, and it may be a big advantage. I think this speech, John, tomorrow night from the president is a combination of two things. Policy speech, he wants to box those Republicans in and say, I understand our politics, but we have some things that in the past we've all agreed on, and get on board. He used those words in Detroit the other day. Republicans, get on board. We can get some people back to work. It's a
but
second
how's
thing.
That going to work? I mean, it didn't box him in on the deficit debt
nope.
ceiling. Didn't box him in on shutdown of the government.
Got to make voters feel like Republicans have something to lose if jobs don't improve. The conventional wisdom we all have is that it's all Barack Obama's problem. Well, maybe if unemployment stays at 9.1%, voters will want to throw all the bums out. And Republicans in that case, just like Barack Obama, are also bums. Maybe they feel like they have some skin in the game on jobs. And I'm talking about naked politics here. But John, Thursday night, really, in a lot of ways, it's a campaign speech. It really is. If that needle doesn't move, Barack Obama needs to spread the blame. If the needle does move, he needs to take the credit. And we're in campaign mode here.
But no one, and many of your colleagues have said, can survive a 9.1% unemployment rate. Wouldn't it be better for the president to just reassure Americans without promising to hire them?
Well, to reassure, he
he needs to hire him.
I don't know.
There we go.
It's a tough situation. He needs to hire him. You're right.
We'll be watching the debate tonight and, of course, the president's speech tomorrow. Todd Zwillich, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much.
Hey, my pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.